So it's hard to refuse Barry to say no. She's really so special. I've been following the Chizuk missions for quite some time, and seeing every single year, sometimes a few times a year, bringing groups of women who decide to take time off of their lives to come to Eretz Yisrael to get Chizuk. And this year, I think specifically, where it's the war and there's so much unknown, and we're here, I don't know where you guys went to visit, and if you were caught in Tzeva Adom and suddenly there's bombs coming to Tel Aviv and coming to the Merkaz and you're trying to travel up north, give chizik to chayalim, and it's a tremendous chizik. It's a chizik for us that people actually decide to come and to get the chizik during this time, because we have all the excuses to say this is not the right time to come. We'll do it next year. We'll wait for it to be over. But just like always in life, and especially as women and as mothers, we know it's never, we can't wait till it's over in order for us to decide to give ourselves a little bit of time and to give ourselves a little bit of chizuk, right? Imagine I wait until I'm married and then I can do, I wait until the kids are older, until they're out of that. You can't wait. There's always a lot of going on in our houses and whatever stage we are in our lives. We can't wait for something to be over in order to give ourselves the time and the chizuk that we need. And what you guys gave yourselves in the last week was exactly that. And it's something that you should stop and be like, yeah, that was important. And now my real question is, where do we go from here? How do we take this back home with us? How do we make this real in our homes, in our lives? What's our practical avoda for the days to come, for the weeks to come? Because you get a lot of the chizuk, a lot of the inspiration, but now we have to make it real. So I saw brought down, you know, this coming Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarchim Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Sunday, Monday is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. It's a new month, and it's brought down in the Svarim HaKadoshim, that it's brought down already in the Medrash Tanchuma, that really, just like we have Shmini Atzeres, you know, you have Pesach, and then we count 50 days from the first day of Pesach, and that's where you have Atzeres. You have Shavuos. Ideally, it should have been that you count 50 days from the first day of Sukkot, and that's when you have Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is really supposed to be 50 days from the first day of Sukkot, and that would be the sixth day of Kislev. And instead, so that we don't have to come to the Beis HaMikdash in the middle of the winter, and like 50 days later, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's going to be right away, Kasha alai prey daschem, and therefore it's going to be Sukkot, and right away is going to be the Chag of Atzeres. And it's brought down in the Sfarim as well, based on a story that takes place in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he was coming to tell the king about the Churban HaBayis, they declare a fast day on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rosh Chodesh Kislev was actually declared a day of tshuva and a fast day to regroup ourselves, and he writes down the Megillah of Eicha, and he brings it to the king. The king unfortunately burnt it, and therefore that's what led to the Churban. But the day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev was the day that has within it the potential of doing tshuva. We know that in the Torah there's two cycles for birth. There's the early birth, and then there's the full term birth. The full term birth we know is 9 months. What's the early birth in the Torah? It's not in the eighth month, but rather in the seventh month. We find that a lot throughout the Gemara. Scientifically now, with medicine, we have a lot of earlier term that could be even in the eighth month. But there's a concept called the seventh month birth, and then there's the ninth month birth. The seventh month is the month of Tishrei, after Pesach. And that's really the month of rebirth, of being reborn again, doing tshuva, starting our lives all over again, and we're ready to have a fresh start. But if you're not able, or if you were doing it, but you feel like you need another chizik, the month of Kislev is actually the month for another rebirth, for the full term rebirth. When you get to the ninth month, that's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, is the month of a new beginning. Now, how do we do it? And specifically, how do we do it in reference to what is going on right now in the war? And I want to focus on what is going on in the war right now, from the stories of the Tanakh that we're reading in the Parshios right now, and then to see what is the practical thing that we could do as women, for our homes, for ourselves, to get through this difficult stage. Okay, so let's take a quick look at who we're dealing with and what exactly is their power. Because we know that we're dealing with a vicious enemy that for over 400 days has not let up. We feel that we're strong, and we are a stronger army, but they're not letting up. They're not letting up in the south. They're still holding on to 101 hostages. Many of them are dead, but we're still waiting with hope that some are still alive. They're not letting up north, even though we had miraculous attacks against them. Who are these people from Lebanon, from Hamas? How do we overpower them? And they're not just here. They're all over the world. They're everywhere. They're on university campuses. They're in Dubai. What's going on? How could we overpower such an enemy? We have to see what the Torah tells us about such an enemy, and then understand his power, where his power comes from, so we can undo and be able to overcome him. So who is this enemy? So we know that already, this is in the previous parshios, Sarah couldn't have a child. So she gives her maid to marry Avram Avinu. Who's their child? Ishmael. Sarah sees that Ishmael is Metzachek Yitzchak, that he's coming, and Rashi says, Giloy Arayos, Shvichos Damim, Avodah Zarah, all of the terrible things. So Sarah says, I'm going to send Ishmael away. Avram Avinu is reluctant at first. He's not sure. Ki b'Yitzchak ikar lecha zera. I want to make sure there's potential over here. There's potential. I want to cultivate this potential. But Sarah says, no, he's got to go. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen to your wife. Kol asher tomar alecha Sarah shma bekola. She understands what's going on, and therefore, he should be sent away. What does it say when he sends away? Vateir Sarah is ben Hagar amitzvis asher yodol Avram mitzachik. He is hurting Yitzchak. Vatomer la'Avram, garesh ha'ama azos vezbena. Kick her out and her son. Kilo yirash ben ha'ama azos im benim Yitzchak. He can't inherit this land with my son. It seems that there's already a fight over who's going to inherit this land. And she's saying, kick him out because he's not going to inherit this land. It means that when he's mitzachik, he's saying, I'm going to be the one who's going to inherit the land. And Sarah says, oh no, you're not going to inherit the land. Where does he go? He gets sent out to where? To the desert. In the desert, there's no water, right? And then there's the miracle. She sees the water, and they get life again. And he's going to be now in the Arabian Peninsula. And he's going to grow up in the desert and not in the cities. But listen to this pasuk. Vayelokim es anar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over this boy. Vayigdal. And he grows up. Vayeshev bamidbar. He lives in the desert. Vayehi roveh kashat. And he becomes a roveh kashat. What's a roveh kashat? Says Rashi, Yorech chitzim bakeshet. He shoots bows and arrows. The first time we find this weapon. What is the weapon of a bow and arrow? What is the modern day weapon of a bow and arrow?
A missile.
It means I'm over here. I'm too scared to confront you directly with my sword, hand to hand combat. And therefore what I do is I pull out my arrows and I shoot it. I'm just firing away. I hope I'm going to hit. It's not as direct, but I'm going to be firing away. Ishmael, ever since, his main weapon against the Jewish people has been a roveh kashat. We're going to fire from Iraq. Hamas is going to, what's his name?
Saddam Hussein.
In the Gulf War. And we're going to start there. And then it's going to be Hamas with the missiles. Then it's going to be Hezbollah with the missiles. Then it's going to be Iran with the missiles. Then it's going to be the Houthis with the missiles. Wherever they are around the world, the militia of Ishmael is going to be a roveh kashat. We're going to send missiles against the Jewish people. That is our enemy. And he's relentless. How do we overcome him? Where does he get his koach from? And he's fighting over Israel. And he's saying, I want this Yerusha. This is mine. I'm going to build the mosque right over there because it's mine. That's what he says. And we need to show that no, it is ours. How do we show? Where do we get the strength to overpower this? In this week's parsha, we're introduced to another enemy. Because the enemy is all over the world. What is the other enemy? Our other enemy of Am Yisrael, somebody who wants to kill Yaakov, and therefore to destroy the Jewish people, is his twin brother, is Esav. What's going on between Yaakov and Esav? Rivka is the mother. She has twins. She's not sure what is going on over here. By the way, you're going to see that the women, the Imos, play such a vital role into how everything is going to play out over here. It is the mothers who play the role in surviving the Jewish continuity and understanding what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. She's pregnant. She understands that there's a struggle over here. Vatelech Lidros Esh Hashem. She goes. First of all, she's davening together with Yitzchak. And then she goes, Lidros Esh Hashem, she goes to speak to the Rabbanim. And they tell her, Shnei Goyim Bevitnich, you have two nations in your stomach. V'Rav Yavo Tzayir. And the Rav, the older one, Yavo Tzayir, will service the younger one. And she's calmed down. Why is she okay when they give her that? Is that okay for her? That it's still kicking over here? Now she understands that, right? Because she had a whole question. What's going on? How come he's kicking to go out to the Avodah Zarah? How come he's kicking to go out to the Shul? And now they told her it's twins. So now she's okay. What's going on? Does she now understand better? Because we don't find that she's complaining after that. It means that she understood something. And then there's already Esav and Yaakov. They're fighting over the firstborn a little bit. He's cooking. He sells it to him. And then comes the blessings. Rivka tells Yaakov to go get the blessings that Esav was supposed to get. Because Yitzchak loves Esav and he wants to send him the blessings. But Rivka says, no, Yaakov, you get them. And then Yaakov goes and gets the blessings. And then Esav comes and he cries and he says, what's going to be? I want a blessing as well. We're going to go back into all the details to try to understand what's going on. But I want to focus on the weapon of Esav. Because Esav also gets a bracha at the end of the parsha. What is the bracha of Esav? Vayomer Esav el aviv habracha achas hi lecha avi. Do you have only one bracha for me? Bacheni gamani avi. Vayisa Esav kol vayev. And Esav weeps like a baby. I also want a bracha. Vayan Yitzchak aviv vayomer el aviv. Hine mishmane aretz yeh moshavecha umitala shamayim me'al. You're going to have mishmane aretz yeh moshavecha umitala shamayim me'al. And then listen to this. We have another weapon that is coming into the story. Ve'al char b'cha tichya. Ve'esachicha tavod. Ve'aya kasher tarid uferakta ulam al tzavrecha. You're going to live by the sword. And Esav, for all of generations, call it Europe, call it Rome, call it Western civilization, their main weapons of attack for all of the years was the weapon, the hand-to-hand combat, the direct combat. You're going to live by the sword, and then you're going to serve your brother. But if he goes down, then you can remove him from on top. What's going on? What is the weapon of Esav? What is the weapon of Ishmael? How do we overpower them? What is our avoda over here? And I want to ask even a deeper question. Where was Esav's free will? Right? Did you ever think about that? As mothers, are our children, are they predestined to go in one direction? Esav, it seems, that's how I understood it until I started looking deeper into it, that he's predestined to be a Rasha. He's already kicking to go to the Avodah Zarah in his mother's womb. When he comes out, he's all red. So they call him Esav, like Asui. He's already all complete. And he's got this red hair nature. And he's a Ish Yodei Atzaid, Ish Sadeh. He goes hunting. That's his personality. But that's against what we learn in Judaism, that there is free will, that you get to choose. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi'ir shamayim. You're not born as a Rasha. You're born with different tendencies, but not as a Russian. What's going on? Where's Esav's Bechira Chavshis? And therefore, what was his tafkid, and how do we overpower him? These are the questions that I want to explore. Understanding Ishmael, understanding his power, understanding Esav and his power, his free will, and how we're able to overcome them. Let's start with Ishmael. Ishmael says the Maharal, who is his father? Who's Ishmael's father?
Abraham.
Avraham. Who's his mother?
Hagar.
Who's Hagar? Where does she come from?
Egypt.
Egypt. Where in Egypt?
Princess.
She's the princess of Paro. Meaning she comes from like the Spitz society of Paro. Together with Avram, out comes Ishmael. What does that mean? Where do they get their koach from? So says the Maharal, that we know that the Navi Daniel has the vision of the four galios, the four different exile. We have the Babylonian galos, we have the Paras Umadai, which is the story of Purim, we have the Greek Empire, which is the story of Hanukkah, and then we have Edom, the galos that we're still in, that destroyed the second base of Mikdash. Where's Ishmael in the four galios? Such a tremendous enemy. Where's Ishmael? And according to the Ravid, Ishmael is one of the four. And the Ramban asks on him and he says, no, just because you got so scared from them, so you said that they're one of the four galios, but they're not. They're in their own category. Why are they in their own category? Says the Maharal. Ki lo yichashev akosuv v'yesh bnei adam shalim. There are people who ask, heichan ramaz malchus Ishmael shi malchus rabta v'takifa. Where is Ishmael if there's such a strong people all across the world? V'tshuva shel azu ma shelo zachar malchus Ishmael ki lo yechashev akosev rak ha-malchus shekiblu malchus kadishin elyonim sheyarshu malchus Yisrael v'kocham v'heim adal malchios. Says the Maharal, all of the four galios, which is what we see from the bracha of Esav, they all come from Esav. And what does that mean that they all come from Esav? V'haya kasher tarid ufarakta ulo maltzavarecha. When Bnei Yisrael are down, Esav has unique power to overpower us. When we are not living up to our values and up to our mission and tradition, so Hashem says, what do you need the Beis HaMikdash for? This is the house of our values. What was in Kodesh HaKadoshim? What was the holiest room in the Beis HaMikdash? What did it house?
The Aron.
The Aron. What was inside the Aron? Our core values. The Aseres HaDibros. And the Sefer Torah. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, what we represent, what this house represented, is all a house to secure our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how we're supposed to live our lives based on what he taught us, Mahu Rachum, Apatah Rachum, and just like he's Gomel Chasadim, you're Gomel Chasadim, to go in his ways, Valachta Bedracha. That is our whole mission of our life, is to have a close, intimate relationship with our Creator, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's run through these values that were given to us at Har Sinai. The moment we weren't living based on those values, the Hayah Ki Yarid, when we go down, Uparakta Ulo Maltza Barecha. That is the bracha to Esau, and that's when they go up. It's a seesaw. When we go down, comes Bavel and destroys the Beis HaMikdash. Comes Haman HaRasha, wants to destroy the entire Jewish people. Baruch Hashem, Esther was able to renew the world of tshuva. Again, a woman who was able to evoke a whole tshuva movement around the world. We go back up. Ishmael Esav goes away. We build the second Beis HaMikdash. But even in the second Beis HaMikdash, we start becoming more Hellenistic. We start going down. Yavan comes up. We're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to destroy the Jewish people. So we have to do tshuva, the Chashmonaim, Yehudis. We're able to come back and we're doing tshuva, so they go down. And then we go down, and then Edom goes up. It's a constant seesaw. That's what the Maharal explains. What about Ishmael? What about Ishmael? So continues the Maharal. This is in Ner Mitzvah on Chanukah on the 8th page. However, Aval Malchus Ishmael lo yarash kocho min Malchus Yisrael ki kocho v'tokfo nasan lo Hashem Yisbarach b'fnei atzmo. The Malchus of Ishmael, they have their own power by themselves that Hashem gave them, not because when we're down, even if we're doing good, Hashem gave them power. Why? Bishvil shehaya mizera Avraham v'Hashem Yisbarach amar u'lishmael shema sicha. V'hinei nasan Hashem Yisbarach koach v'tokef l'Ishmael b'fnei atzmo Umizei en medaber kasher maskir elu dals malchios rakasher yarshu koch v'tokvam al Yisrael ulevasof yachzeru heima malchus l'Yisrael. Says the Maharal, the reason why Yishmael is not part of the Dalin Malchios, because Yishmael has his own right. He's not part of the seesaw of righteousness like the bracha of Esav. He has his own koch. Where does his koch come from? Because he's the son of Avram. What does that mean that he's the son of Avram? Why does he get koch? Because he's the son of Avram. He's also the son of Hagar. What's going on over here? And listen to the Medrash. Says the Medrash Perkei Rav Elazar, Amar Bilam. Not only does he have a koch because he's the son of Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sam Shmo Al Yisrael, Hol V'Yishra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmo Shal Yishmael, Shmo Shal Yisrael, Oy Mi Yichya B'Yamav, Shenemar, Oy Mi Yichya Mesumo El. Only one time does it say Oy in the Torah. And we've said many krechts and many Oys since then. The Jewish mother says Oy. Where does it say Oy in the Torah? Says the Medrash Perkei Rav Elazar, all of the nations of the world, 70 nations, they have unique names. Only one has Hashem's name in the name of the nation. Yisrael. Kisarita imanashim umalachim vatuchar. You are a sar of Kel of Hashem. You are a prince of God, Yisrael. But there's one other nation who has God's name in their name. Yishmael. God will listen. Yishmael has God's name in their name. They have their own unique power. Where does that come from? How do we overcome it? They have their own, this is their uniqueness. So we have to understand who Yishmael is, what his unique superpower is, and how we're going to overcome it. And then understanding Esav, what his tafkid is, where he went wrong, and how we're going to overcome that. So let's go back to the beginning of Yishmael. Yishmael, his mother, gets kicked out for the first time by Sarah. She kicks her out because she was already making fun of Sarah, her master, because look, I got pregnant and you didn't get pregnant, so I'm more righteous than you. She kicks her out. The Malach comes and says, go back to Sarah and you're going to have a child, and what's going to be his name? This is what the Malach says. Vayomer la Malach Hashem, hinacha rav yaladis ben. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a child. Vekarash shmo Yishmael. And you should call his name Yishmael. Why? Kishama Hashem Elonyech. Because Hashem listened to your prayer in the past tense. If his name is Yishmael, Kishama Hashem Elonyech, what should be his name?
Shamael.
Shamael. Why is his name Yishmael in the future? Question. Vehuye, what's the description of this person? Vehuye Pere Adam, Yadoba Koviyad Kobo Vabre Kolech of Yishko. He's going to be a Pere Adam. A wild person. Yadoba Kol, he's going to be involved in everything, everywhere. V'yad Kobo, everyone's going to hate him. V'alpnei Kol Echav Yishkon, and he's going to be dispersed across the entire world. Just like we find today. They're everywhere. They're on college campuses. They're in Europe. They're all across Europe. They're all across Africa. They're across Asia. They're everywhere. Mamash, like the Navi says. V'alpnei Kol Echav Yishkon. How do we overcome it? And what does it mean, behu ye pere adam? The Mefarshim discusses, normally in Hebrew linguistic, in the proper Lashon, if you're trying to explain a person, so you say he's a Talmid, Chacham. He's a Adam, Nechmad. First you say
the noun,
and then the descriptive. What describes? That's how you say it in Hebrew, right? Isha, Nechmada. Isha, Tzadika. Right? First you say the noun and then the descriptive. So here it should be Vehu ye Adam Pere. That he's a person, that's Pere. But it's the other way around. Vehu ye Pere Adam. The Maharil Diskin explains that is his essence. His noun is wild. He's going to be a wild being, but in a descriptive form of a human being. Meaning, his essence is that he's going to be wild. He won't be able to be controlled and tamed, and you can't negotiate with him because he's just wild. But he looks like an Adam. And even more, the kasha is, it says in the Gemara, Hatem kruim Adam, ve'ein ovdei kochavim mazalos kruim Adam. Just the Jews are called Adam, but the non-Jews are not called Adam. But here he's called Adam. So what is he? Explains again the Mara. V'rabosenu amru. Shelo Yarosh Olam Azeh Be'olam Haba Ela Bishvil HaEmuna Shal Yedei HaEmuna Shayachazek Be'emuna Zacha Avram Lios Shorish VeYesod Kol Yisrael. What is the superpower of Avram Avinu? What made him Avram Avinu? What gave him the power to go through 10 Nisyonos?
Belief.
His emuna, that's what he taught the world. He taught the world monotheism. He taught the world that there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He taught the world that Hashem is real, that Hashem is with us, that Hashem is alive, that Hashem knows what's going on in our day-to-day life, and He knows what's going on in the whole entire world, and He mamish lived it. He lived it every single second. Just like we act a certain way when there's a father in the room or a teacher in the room. Like, we know it, right? That's real for us. So we act a certain way. Avraham Avinu, it was so real for him. He lived with Hashem all the time. Hashem was with him. It was, the emunah was unbelievable. He is the Tashuri L'Rosh Amana. He's the father and the foundation of all faith. Kel emunah ve'ein avel. The word kel is always referred to as emunah. Kel emunah. The reason why Israel has the name Kel in our name and not Yisra'ka, right? Or Yisra Shakai. Why do we use the name Kel in Israel? Because the name Kel means emuna. We have a strong, steadfast emuna in Avinu Shebashama. You know who else got that emuna? Ishmael. And therefore Ishmael also has the name Kel in his name. Ishmael. He would listen, when he's out in the desert, he's crying and he believes that Hashem is going to save him, and Hashem comes and saves him. He has emunah in Hashem, says the Rambam. The Ishmaelim daven 5 times a day. We daven 3 times a day. It's the proper time to daven 3 times a day, not 5. But says the Rambam 1,000 years ago, if we could learn to daven with that simple understanding like Ishmael, we have what to learn from them. We have what to learn from them. That they're, wherever they are, they're davening. They're davening to Hashem. They're not embarrassed. They're not saying, what are people going to say? But where else does Ishmael come from? Ishmael comes from Hagar. Hagar is his mother. Hagar is the princess of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the place that is counter to the emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The land that I'm going to bring you, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to bring you to the land of Eretz Yisrael, lo keret Mitzrayim hi. It's not going to be like the land of Mitzrayim. It's the exact opposite. In Mitzrayim, you don't need to pray to Hashem for rain. Why? Because you have the Nile, and the Nile is there, and it's constantly flourishing and giving you all the sustenance. You don't need to stop and to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all right there. Mitzrayim, you believe in yourself. I can do this. We are the gods. Pharaoh is the god. Mi Hashem. Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know who God is, says Paro to Moshe Rabbeinu when he comes to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Our entire system is built off of Paro and his servants and the witchcraft and everything that we can do. Even witchcraft, even their spirituality, are things that they create by themselves. That's what witchcraft is. And it's not something that is coming from above. The entire Yitzias Mitzrayim is leaving that culture and coming to the culture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of believing in Hashem. Vayaminu ba'Hashem uveMoshe avdo. They believe in Hashem and in Moshe, and that's when Mitzrayim is dead. Al Hayam. And now they're ready to go to Har Sinai, because they're mechazik in their emunah. And when they're strong in their emunah, they get to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to get His Torah. Now they're walking towards Eretz Yisrael. Only after they're mechazik their emunah. What happens when you put the combination of tremendous emunah with emunah in yourself and no emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what Ishmael comes out. Ishmael has belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what does he do? He distorts what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from him. And whatever he desires from himself, he says, this is what God wants from me. And this is what I'm willing to die for God. But it's really what he wants from himself. And therefore, Ishmael are the kings of rewriting history. and they rewrite history based on what they want the story to be like. And whatever is comfortable for them, they're always willing to rewrite the story. I heard from my Rebbe, Ramos Shapiro, he says that's pshat, when the Malachim come to Avram Avinu, so says Rashi that they were Arviyim, they were Arabian, they were living in the deserts. At that time, Yishmael was still living in the house. But still, says my Rebbe taught us that Avram Avinu tells them, go wash your feet. Why go wash your feet? Because they used to bow down to the sand of their feet. What does that mean? What type of avodah zara is that? So he says the culture of the Aravim, of the Arabians, which eventually becomes that culture of Yishmael in the desert, is that you bow down to the feet that take you wherever they take you. You let your feet guide you, but then you bow down to it. You believe that that is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you, and you're willing to sacrifice yourself with unbelievable emunah, but it's a warped emunah, because it's an emunah in yourself. But the chizuk of Yishmael comes from that emunah, but it's unfortunately, it's a warped emunah, and that's what we need to deal with. But listen to this. Pirkei de'Rav Lezer. This is the Zohar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yishmael a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they have a bris milah, and that they have an emunah in their bris milah. V'asidim b'nei Yishmael lishlot ba'aretz hakedosha keshurekam mikol zman rav. The children of Yishmael are going to rule the land of Israel for a long time when it's desolate, when it's empty. Kemo she'amilah shelahem reikanis b'li shleimus. Just like their milah is not a complete milah. They do that 13 and they only do a milah. They don't do a priya. They don't do a full milah like we do. They're going to hold back the Jewish people from coming back to their place. Ad shetichle zechus ahi shel b'nei Yishmael, until their zechus is over. V'asid b'nei Yishmael le'orer milchamos chazakos ba'olam, and the children of Yishmael are going to trigger tremendous wars in the world. This is what the Zohar says. Meaning, we're living in historic times at the end of Yemos HaMashiach, where Yishmael rises to power and he's triggering wars all across the world. And they have a strong emunah. They don't let up. They don't give up. They don't wave the white flag. They're going till the end because they're holding on. We want to hold on to this Eretz Yisrael. And they're losing it. They're losing it every day. They're getting further and further away from having control of Eretz Yisrael, and they're holding on to it. How do we overpower them all the way at the end? How do we knock them out? How do we overcome their bow and arrow that they keep on shooting at us? Yesterday, today, for 400 days, every day, not a day goes by without a missile coming in. That's their bow and arrow. How do we overcome it? Let's put it on hold for a second. Let's go to Esav. Okay, who's Esav? What was his tafkid? Where did he go wrong? Why did he go wrong? It's brought down. Okay, we're going to tie this all together also. You guys ready to go one step deeper?
Yes.
Okay, one step deeper. We're ready?
It wasn't even a concept that Yishma'elim were our enemies.
Right.
It wasn't even an empire of Yishma'elim then. The Arabs came out in the 1300s. Like, when did the Arabs become even a nation?
We're talking, this is here 1,500 years.
Okay.
We're talking about a long time ago.
When is the Maharal?
The Maharal is 500 years ago.
Okay, so
the Ishmaelim are around. There was already tremendous wars between the first Crusades, which were at the time of Rashi, the Rishonim, was a fight against Islam. It was the big power of Islam. Muhammad was 1,500 years. It's around 500 years after Churban Abayis, around 500 years after Christianity, the formation. If we're talking in bulk years, not in specific years. It's not that the Ishmaelim are not around, and that's why the Rishonim already thought that maybe it's a Gullus in and of itself. There was Gullus Ishmael already then, but now we're like Maush at the end of it. Now we're seeing it across the entire world. Then they weren't in Europe, they were in their own, Arabian peninsulas. And now they're everywhere. They're on college universities, right? They're in America. We're talking about millions of them in America. It's not just that they're right here.
It's here. I went to this graduation ceremony. All the new members of the police force were all Mohammed.
They're in there.
And this was 11 years ago.
Yeah. They are al pnei kol echav yishkom. They're going to be everywhere. They're going to play that part of we're normal and we're but they're not. You can't control them, and they could be silent for 20 years. They could be a sleeping cell for 30 years, and then they could erupt. And America thinks in Western culture, and they think in a totally different way. And then there's going to be the clash of the cultures. And then how does it come at the end? What's the final day? What's our avoda? I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to give you chizuk.
You're here to give us like reality. We're meant to overcome this.
Yes, we're meant to overcome, and we could, and we're going to get to that in 1 minute.
Yeah. Can I just ask one just a clarity?
Yes.
So you're saying
it's
that
a small class.
Is,
we can have a lot of. This is good.
There's the four.
Four gullies.
Right? But the fifth gullet, it's really a fifth gullet. Like,
it's not a fifth. It's in the gullus
of
Edom. In the Gullus of Edom is Malchus Ishmael, and it's in by its own right. The Maharal explains, this is what we explained before, that all the other Gullus, they're a seesaw with Am Yisrael. When we're down, their power goes up. When we rise and live based on the values that we're supposed to, so then their power gets diminished. Ishmael, though, has his own power. It doesn't come from sucking the power out of us. It doesn't come from our lack of tapping into our power. It comes from his own unique power, which we just explained, comes from that he's a child of Avram Avinu, that he has the name Kel in his name. Both of those represent a very strong, unwavering emunah, but his emunah is warped, but it's still a very strong emunah, and it is an emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Rambam says you're allowed to walk into a mosque. It's not like a base of Avodah Zarah. It is emunah in Allah, in Elohim, but yet they warp it to be based on their own needs and their own desires. But because it's still emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a power to it, even though it's warped. So how do we strengthen it? How do we overcome it? What's our tool to overcome his bow and arrow?
Can I just quote?
Yes.
Right, but Esav is a child of Yaakov.
Esav is a brother of Yaakov,
Yitzchak. So the only difference is that he doesn't have
El
in his name.
So we have to know what Esav, what was his tafkid, what was he supposed to do? What did Yaakov do in his stead? What does that mean that he stole the brachos, that he got the firstborn? Where did Esav go wrong? Where was his Bechira Chavshis? Why did Yitzchak love Esav? Right? Why did he love him? He made a mistake. Rivka knew it. Rivka didn't. She understood, but Yitzchak didn't understand. Are we saying that Yitzchak made a mistake? How do we understand the story of Yaakov and Esav? And understanding his tafkid, and when we understand what Esav's tafkid is, and where he went wrong, we understand a little bit his power, and his jealousy, and his ongoing hatred for the Jewish people. And now we overcome that as well. Yes.
And I might be probably jumping so ahead, but I just want to put it out there and discuss it afterwards. But everything it says is a reflection. Like Baal Shem Tov says that life is a mirror. That really everything is a reflection of the Jewish people. How, like you're saying, when we're in it, when our values are, so we're really guiding all of this whole everything.
Yeah. So we're going to see just, how okay. and what our job is okay. and what our topic is. Okay.
Just to realize that it's not like. They're in control. Like, we're really in control.
That's right.
Okay.
And we have to know what that means, though. But what does that mean, and how does that mean? Okay, here we go. Barry, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Here we go.
Try to get snippets so the world can hear.
Okay. Yaakov and Esav. Our basic question that guides us is, where was Esav's Bechira Chavshis? It seems that he was predestined to be a Rasha. But when you look at the Psukim, and not only that, it says, Ki be Yitzchak ikar lechazer, and says the Gemara, only be Yitzchak, only a part of Yitzchak, meaning only one part of Yitzchak. It seems that already Avraham Avinu was promised that only one part of Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knows that Esav is going to be a Rasha, he didn't give him Bechira Chavshis. It goes against everything that we believe in. Right? That's not what we believe in as Jews. So where was his Bechira Chavshis? So the way, and this is a piece that I heard already from my great uncle, Reb Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht, and it's already brought down in the Malbim, that really Esav and Yaakov were supposed to be partners. They're supposed to be partners. We know that how many mothers are there? Arba imaos. Four mothers. How many fathers are there? Shlosha avos. Wait a minute, it doesn't line up. Why are there shlosha avos and arba imos? And two of the imos are sisters. And only one of the brothers, originally, ideally, based on the original cheshbon, and it's brought down in the Zohar,
Esav
that the avoda of the avos akedoshim is to be metakin chet adam arishon. And the way to be metakin chet adam arishon in its purity, and there's a whole shiur on how Avram and Sarah did it through the midah of chesed, and how Yitzchak and Rivka are doing it, and Yaakov and Esav were the final step in being metakin chet adam arishon. The chet, which was tov hara, that it's all mixed together, right? Because they ate from Eitz Hadas tov hara. It says that the shoresh of Adam and Chava, of Yaakov and Esav, are sort of like that one tree of tov hara that are now came out into two different people, but they're supposed to be a partnership that makes the world a better place. What is that partnership? The partnership of Yaakov and Esav is that you need someone who's kulo tov, and Yaakov Avinu was ish tam yoshev olim. He was like Adam Arishon kodem achet. He was kulo tov. His partner, his twin brother, that has potential in working together with him. What was his job? Ish yodei atzai, ish sadeh. His job was to go out into the real world. And in the real world, be metakein and fix all of the tumah that spread after Chet Adam HaRishon to purify it. But you can only do that if you stay connected to Yaakov, which is inside the Beis Medrash, inside the Yoshev Olam. You need that partnership together. And ideally, Yaakov was supposed to marry Rachel. And Esav was supposed to marry Leah. Why is Leah crying? Because people said you're going to marry Esav. Who said that? Why are you listening? She knew that her Shorisha Neshama is Esav. That's why she was crying. She said, my Bashert is not living up to his potential. That's why she's crying. She's like, he's becoming Esav HaRasha. That's like his name is Esav HaRasha. So how am I going to live my life? She has her tafkid. She's willing to, she wants to build the Shvatim, Shiftei Kah. But Esav is not living up to his potential. Because there's a big risk going out into the big world. You can get sucked into the big world. And he's Yodei Tzaid. And listen to this. Yitzchak tells him, Yitzchak calls Esav, and he says, I want you to go out. Listen to the Pesukim. It's like, he tells him, what's the Pesuk? Vayomer lav Yitzchak. Vayikra, where's, Vayigdilu ane'arim. Vayav Yitzchak es Esav. Why does Yitzchak love Esav? Ki tzayid befiv. Literally, what does that mean? He gives him food. He goes and he hunts and he gives him steak. That's why he likes him. So Rashi tells us, because he used to trick him with his mouth. Kitzayid, he used to trick Befiv with his mouth. And therefore, he liked him. So he made a mistake. Pashup Shah is that he, and then when he wants to give him the bracha, what does he tell him? He tells him, Sana kalecha vitalecha. Did I bring this pasuk here? He can't see. He calls his son Esav and he says, I'm old. I don't know when I'm going to die. And listen to how Yitzchak requests Esav what to do for him and then give him a bracha. Ve'ata, sana kelecha, take your kelim. Ve'talecha, ve'kashtecha, take your bag and your sword and your bow. Vitzasa, to go out to the sun. Vitzuda litzai, and go hunt for me. Vaseli matam, and make for me good steak. Kasher hafti, like I love. Ve'avi ali, bring it to me. Ve'ochela, and I'll eat. Bavur tevacha nashi v'teramamus. And then I'm going to give you a bracha. This is Yitzchak. Make me good steak, and then I'll give you a bracha for eternity, for life. And this is the bracha that Yaakov wants to steal from Esav. What type of bracha are we talking about? The Mefarshim explain, and it's brought down in the Medrash, when he says, Sana kalecha, talecha, kashtecha, all those, it's all referring to the Arba Malchios. You have a job to overpower the Arba Malchios. Davar Acher, Sana kalecha zu Bavel, taliecha zu Madai. This is Bereshis Rabbah, chapter Shinhei. Kashtecha zu Yavan, Tseasada zu Edom. I want you to go and overpower the Ra that is in the world. There's certain evil now that is in the world after Chet Adam HaRishon. You have a job to fulfill. Going out to the Sadeh and bringing it back is the tafkid of having. By the way, Yitzchak originally went out to the Sadeh to start that process. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. He was in the Sadeh already. Yitzchak was there. He started the process. I want you now, Esav, you're supposed to finish it together with Yaakov. And I'll give you the bracha. Which bracha? The bracha of success in this world. All of the blessings in the world, you're going to get. Yaakov is going to get the blessings of the world to come. The Birchas Avram, there's two blessings, always. The Birchas Avram was supposed to go to Yaakov. The bracha of success in this world was supposed to go to Esav. You guys are supposed to be partners. He had Bechir Chavshis in being the fourth father. He could have been the fourth wheel on Hashem's chariot. By the way, instead, because he wasn't, who's the fourth wheel on Hashem's chariot? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and? David. Who's David? How was he born? What was his personality like? He was Admoni. He was red. Was he a warrior? He was a warrior. He was Yodea Tzayid. He went out and he hunted. And he knew how to fight the wars of Hashem, says the Rambam in his Hilchos Melachim. It's called Hilchos Melachim Vemilchamoseihem. And their wars. Part of the tafkid of the Melch is to go out to war, to be Mamlech Hashem on the world, is to show that Hashem's kingdom is here through the kingdom of Bnei Yisrael. Esav was supposed to be that, and he was supposed to marry Leah. Rivka, as a mother, understood. Esav is not doing it. Rivka grew up in the house of Besuel. She knew what a rush is. She knew the real thing. She said, it's not happening. I'm going to give it to Yaakov. Yaakov, you need to step and you need to take both brachos. The bracha, and he says, Ulayim Usheni Avi, this is what they're medak. Maybe my father's going to feel me. He's going to see that I'm not Esav. Ve'evesi alai kelala v'lo bracha. I'm going to get a curse and not a blessing. Why the double lashon? I'm going to get a curse and not a blessing. I'm going to get a curse and I won't even get the blessing that I'm supposed to get. What's the blessing that he's supposed to get? At the end, when he was sent away to go marry a wife in Haran, Yaakov gives him Yitzchak gives Yaakov a bracha of his father. Birchas Avram. When he sends him away, he says, Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov, Vayivarech oso, Vayitzaveyu, Vayitain lecha es Birchas Avram, lecha ol zarecha. There's two blessings. The blessing of Avram, which is spirituality, and the blessing of Yitain lechalakim, of physicality. Yaakov needs to go and take the world, the bracha of Olam Hazeh. And the moment he deceives his father, it's the right thing to do through his mother. What happens when he goes out to Lavan's house? He gets deceived, and who's his first wife? Leah. Because now he took on the role, and she thought she was going to marry Esav all the time, but she now needs to marry him because he has a dual role of marry of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Therefore, she has the children, which are Yehuda and Levi, the kingdom, that where David HaMelech is going to come out of Leah, and all of the Beis HaMikdash of building it in the physical world, that's going to go through her. That's the duel. That's the partnership. That is what Esav should have been, but he wasn't. And that is the job that is taken, that is our job. And Esav, ever since then, is jealous. He's jealous, and therefore he comes and he wants to curse and to fight against Yaakov. And he comes with 400 men. And at the end, Yaakov is able to connect with him, and they're going to be able to become one. And then he says, you go to Har Seir. I'm going to go slowly. Eventually, we will meet up. And the way it's brought down, by the way, just to give us a little bit more nachas, we know that Ishmael does tshuva, and we know that Yaakov goes through Har Seir to pick up Esav on the way to Har Abayis. At the end, they all come, and we join with them. They join with us, really. Because we're able to live up to our potential. And this is really the final nekuda that I want to leave you home with. We understand a little bit of what Ishmael is about. Ishmael is a wild person. He's all over the place, and it's all by throwing missiles, the bow and arrow, because of his strong emunah. Esav was supposed to own this world in its highest form and elevate it. He couldn't. He couldn't do it. He didn't want the responsibility of it. Because with responsibility comes great power. With great power comes great responsibility. He would have had all of this power. But that means a big job. And therefore he says, I'm not interested in this. There's so many details and laws that I have to follow to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Too many details for me. I don't want the details. I don't want to be the Bechor. I don't want the responsibility of bringing spirituality into this world. And therefore, he lets go of the whole thing. And instead, we have Leah, like we said, who gets the Bechora, that's Levi, and also Yehuda, which gets the Kehuna. Our job, and this I'm going to take you to the end of Parshas Bereishis, how to overpower this. What are the two weapons that are represented by Yishmael and Esau?
The bow and arrow and the sword.
Al-Char B'chatichya. Is also the child of Rachel. Who's the child of Rachel? Yosef and Binyamin. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef. This is in Parshas Vayichi. Yisrael says to Yosef, Hina no chimes. Vehaya lokimi machem veyeshiv eschem el aretz abosecha. Ve'ani nasati lecha shchem achad alachecha. I'm going to give you an extra shoulder, meaning an extra shevet. Also the city of Shechem. Asher lakachti miyada emori, which I took from the emori, with what? Becharbi uvekashti. With my sword and with my bow. The pasuk is in Perek Mem Ches, pasuk Chav Beis. And then right away, vayikra Yaakov el bana vayomer e'asfu vagila lachem es asher yikra eschem ba'acharis ayam. He says, he finishes the conversation with Yosef. He says, I'm going to give you Shechem Echad Alachecha, another piece of the land. You're going to get this land, which I took from the Emori, Becharbi uVekashti, with my bow and arrow. And now all of you come, and let me tell you the end of days. This is the introduction to understanding how we overcome the end of days. Says the Targum Unkelus, what does it mean, Becharbi uVekashti? Says the Targum Unkelus, that I gave it to you, he, Bitzlosi uBeveosi. With my prayer and my prayer. Tiskabel tzeloson uvehoson lechol beis Yisrael. Rashi says, bechokhmasi utfilasi. From my wisdom and from my prayer. The end of days, our ability to overcome Yishmael and to overcome Esav is by strengthening our emunah and our ability to pray on a higher level than we've been praying until now. Bitzlosi uveveosi, with my two different layers of prayer. The way the Mefarshim explained, what are these two different layers? One is the prayers from our heart, and another one is the prayers from the words that Chazal were koveh for us. What's a prayer from the heart, by the way?
Oy.
You know what a prayer from the heart is?
Oy.
I remember there was a story of an avreich who's married already for many years, and they didn't have a child. And he went to doctors and to rabbanim and to everywhere. Unfortunately, they didn't have a child. Somebody told him there's a mekubal down south. You should go travel to him. Don't give him many years. It was Rav Pinkus, Rav Shimshon Pinkus. So he goes, he travels on a bus in those days, on a bus and another bus. He makes it all the way down to Ofakim, down south. And he gets to Ofakim as it's getting towards the end of the day. And he finds the house where Rav Pinkus is. He knocks on the door. And he says, Rebbe, I came all the way from Bnei Brak. I don't have any children. I went to this. You have to give me a bracha. We don't know what to do anymore. He said, well, did you daven that you should have a child? He said, of course I davened. Rebbe, I'm an avreich. I daven every day. Me and my wife daven every single day. He said, no, I mean, did you really daven? He's like, yeah, we went to doctors. We davened. I'm going to Rabbanim. And I'm coming to you, Rebbe. He said, you didn't get what I'm asking. Come with me into the car. They get into this old rabbi car. And they drive out of Ofakim. It's already nightfall. For 20 minutes into the field. Just imagine like one of those Nova fields. And they're all down there. But there's no lights. There's no party. I don't know if you guys went there. But he goes into this open field. And he says, I want you to stand here and just talk to Hashem that you want a child. I'll be back in a half hour. And the Rav gets into the car and leaves him in the middle of the field, and it's pitch dark. It's not like in the city where you can't see anything. You can barely see the hands in front of your eye. He comes back after a half hour. The Avreich sees the rabbi. The car is coming in. The rabbi comes out. He opens the door. He looks and he says, did he die? He says, yeah, what are you, crazy? You left me out here in the middle. I don't know where I'm going. I'm scared. There are lions. I don't know. There are wild animals here. This is a sakana. And of course, I daven. He said, no. I see, you didn't daven yet. Your eyes didn't daven yet. You should be mamish on your knees. Just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like any child would beg Hashem for something that they want, would beg their parents. You know what kids do when they throw a fit, when they really, really want something. Talk to Hashem. I'll be back in another half hour. And he gets into the car and drives off again. And the guy's like, I can't believe it. Then the headlights come a half hour later. The Avreich doesn't even notice that. The rabbi comes out and he sees this Avreich on his knees, on the floor. Tears pouring out. And then he comes and he puts a hand on his shoulder. He says, now you daven. He says, you don't need my bracha for me now. I'm guaranteed you that you're going to have a child because of your tefillah. Because you now really daven. That's tiskabel tzelosom uveosom. To really believe in Avinu Shebashamayim, that he can answer our prayers, that he can bring the hostages back home, that we could have a Yeshua from all of our tzaras, and that it could all be flipped over. That is the power of Yemos HaMashiach. And that's why his name is Ishmael and not Shamael, says the Medrash. Why is his name Ishmael? Pirkei Derev Lezer, Parak Lamed Beis. His name is Ishmael. V'lama nikra shmo Ishmael. She'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishmoa bekol nakas ha'am. You know why his name is Ishmael? Because Ishmael is going to arouse our prayers like we've never prayed before. And Ishmael ve'yoshiyim. And Hashem will hear our prayers. And he will redeem us. That's the acharis hayamim of Ishmael. They come with their warped emuna, but it arouses within us our emesdika emuna. Our true emuna. Our emuna to daven in Hashem and to believe in Hashem, even though things seem impossible. There's no way. So what does our human nature say? Let's give up. There's no way. Let's go to escapism. Let's find somewhere to distract ourselves because we can't deal with the trauma and the fear and whatever it is. But Yemos HaMashiach are supposed to arouse within us such emuna, such prayer, that we're able with that to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll end this with you. Something I saw from Rav Avram Shor. It says that Yitzchak daven together with Rivka in this week's parasha. Vayesar Yitzchak LaHashem LeNochach Ishto. You want to know what real prayer is? Look at this prayer of Yitzchak together with his wife, Rivka, for their children. Says Rashi, Harbe Hiftzir B'Tfilah. They davened and they davened many, many times. How many times? So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened many times. To the point that Hashem says, you can't, that's it. You reach the maximum. You do one more, it's too much. How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? The Mefarshim tell us it's Kiminyan. 515. Vayischanan. Kiminyan Vayischanan. Where did we get this number from? Why 515? Rebbe Chanan Wasserman, before World War II, meets the Belzer Rebbe. And he says, Rebbe, where did we get 515 from? So the Belzer Rebbe tells him this. It says, based on the Kabbalah, Kodesh Baruch Hu comes down with a machaneh, with a camp of angels, to build the first wall of the Beis HaMikdash. The gematria of machaneh is 103. And then the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that this mountain went through an evolution. Avram Avinu called it Har, Yitzchak called it Sadeh, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, And Yaakov Avinu said, Ein Zekim Beis Elokim, Yaakov Avinu called it Bayis. Says the Belzer Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down Machaneh. Machaneh is one wall, Gematria 103. Har, a mountain, together with the whole Etzem mountain itself, with a Kolel, Har is Gematria 205, plus one, the actual mountain itself, is 206. That's 103 plus 103 equals Gematria of Har. Comes Yitzchak, and calls it Sadeh. Sadeh is like a field. The gematria of Sadeh is 309. That's 103 and 103 and 103. That's already three walls. Comes Yaakov and calls it Bayis. Bayis is gematria 412. That's 103, 103, 103, 103. That's 412. All from this machaneh. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and davens Vayischanan again and again and again. What's 103 plus 103 is 206. Plus 103 is 309. plus 103 is 412, plus 103 is 515. That's the gematria of Ischana. Five different walls. You have the five walls, and you have the ceiling. The four walls, and you have the ceiling. But what about the actual house itself? What about the floor? We know that every box has six walls to it. How do you get to 618? Which is 103 times six. Rivka and Yaakov are davening together. They're davening for a child that is going to be metakin the Chet Adam Arishon, that's going to build us back to the Beis HaMikdash. The Sadeh that Yitzchak already started, he wants a child that's going to be Ish Sadeh, that's going to turn it into Abayis, like Yaakov ended up doing by himself. That's what they're davening for. And we know Ish V'Isha Zachu Shechina B'Neim, they're Shechina in there, they're able to create Shechina in their home. Says Rabbi Avram Shor, Ish V'Isha, the gematria of Ish, and the gematria of Isha is 618, which is Machaneh times 6, 103 times 6. When we want to build our home of Tefillah, if we want to be the continuation, the last chapter of Hashem who comes down and brings the Shekhinah, and he wants the Beis HaMikdash being built, but we need to be partners. So Avram Avinu comes and he builds another Machaneh. Comes Yitzchak and builds another Machaneh. Comes Yaakov and turns it into Abayis. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Am Yisrael, we're here. And he puts a roof over it. But now comes our private homes. Our Ish V'Isha. Our prayer. In our homes. How we build our house. Are we able to turn our house into a Mishkan Me'at? Into a small Beis HaMikdash? And when we're able to transform our houses into a small Beis HaMikdash, we're able to see the full binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where we're coming into this month of Kislev, the month of re-bringing light into the darkness. We're in a very, very dark period. It's been over a year. And we're entering this month of Kislev, but it's the month of a rebirth. It's the ninth month from the Geula of Mitzrayim. Now we're up to that ninth month. We could have a rebirth again. If we weren't zochet to have it on Sukkot, if we weren't zochet to have it in the month of Tishrei, how do we do it? By creating our Ner Ish Uveso. By creating our own candles, our own homes. And that's what the story of Hanukkah is all about. Where it's the holiday of the children, it's the holiday of the mothers, that they don't do melacha, and it's all about the children and lighting with them the fire. Because if we're able to ignite the light in our homes, in the darkness, below, it's lower than it was in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Gullus, we're able to ignite that fire through our homes, then we're zochet to have the final Geula as well. And it comes from strengthening our Emunah. Strengthening our Emunah with the depth of the depth of our prayers. The depth of the depth of our prayers. And it comes down to the mothers. Throughout this whole story, the truth is, I was looking in preparing this year, I didn't get to fully. Rivka is... She introduces us, Avram and Sarah, we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They communicate, Avram tells Sarah, I know that you're beautiful. And there's a lot to speak about Sarah and what does that mean about her beauty, 127. But with Rivka is the first time we find real relationships and love. It says that Yitzchak loves Rivka. He brings her into the house of his mother and he loves her. And Rivka loves Yaakov. She's taking care of the children. She's taking care of her husband. She has the fine balance of a relationship of respecting her husband, but still maneuvering the house to where it's supposed to go. And loving her children and maneuvering and trying. If you look at the psukim, she even tried to get Esav to do his job, but he's not able to. And therefore she directs the destiny of the Jewish people in the right way. You have a unique role. It's a unique role of guiding our homes to be a home of light, of guiding our homes to be homes of emunah, of unwavering faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're able to create that in our homes, and that we're able to have the Ner Ish Uveso, to bring that light, and that's what Kislev is about at the end of it, in the darkest moments, to bring that light, and this year it falls out Mamish in the same day as their Yom Edom, but we're able to bring light into the darkness, then we'll be zochem, Yirtzeh Hashem, to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen Gadol lighting the real menorah. And Yerushalayim will be Oro Shel Olam, will be the light onto the whole entire world, where Esav and Ishma, they'll all come, and they'll be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, V'haya Hashem LaMelech Al Kol Aretz. V'yom Hu Yeh Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, may we be zochet to see it soon in our time.
Amen.
Yashakoach, yes.
Thank you.